Hi, I'm Jeff Heisner with the Michigan District, and welcome to the podcast. Today, we're talking to Penny Armbruster, the executive director of the Luke Clinic. The Luke Clinic is dedicated to taking care of mothers, providing prenatal care and infant care all the way through the first year of birth. And Penny does some amazing work in the city of Detroit. Why don't you tell us how things are going there?
Thank you, Jeff. Well, it's a really exciting time to be in Detroit, let me tell you. I am so proud to be working down there with so many other ministries and missions that are coming together to serve the people. And it is exciting times. It's, if you remember the opening line of Charles Dickens, one of his books, it would be good if I could remember which one, where it says, it was the best of times and the worst of times. There are so many exciting things happening and so many people coming together that are making lasting change, generational change even. But at the same time, we have to balance that with the reality that medically the outcomes in that city are still strikingly poor.
Tale of two cities?
Tale of two cities. You get the prize.
So I know there were a lot of challenges in Flint when you first started up there. But that may be reopening again soon, correct?
That is our plan. We are being extremely prayerful about timing. I think we feel that we are definitely reopening Flint, and our goal is in the fall of 2024. But I think at this point, we are so excited to do it that we don't want to get ahead of God's timing. When we open it, we want to open it in a way that's strong and sustainable. And so throughout the summer, we're going to really be communicating with churches in the Tri-Circuit that are our partners. We believe we have staffing in place, and we are looking at maybe changing the delivery model a little bit. There are some new innovations in the way that you can provide care, and we're looking at embracing some of those and having a slightly different model. But we are beyond excited to reopen Flint.
Wow, cool. That'll be awesome. I know that'll be much appreciated over there for sure. Your ministry is so cool when you get a chance to go down there and see it. And I got a chance not too long ago, and it always blows me away. Why don't you take some time, share some of those really great success stories that you're seeing right now?
So I think you didn't ask me to do this, but I'll be like a politician and give you my answer that I want to give you, and then I'll answer your question. I think what you have to understand is the context in which we work. And then you will begin to understand why what we do is so important. And contextually, in Detroit, we are at a point in time where politically, like the governor or not like the governor, we are getting amazing partnership from Lansing right now in the maternal and infant health round. We are seeing changes that we haven't seen for years that we've wanted and needed. And some of those are a recognition of what makes a difference in a woman's life that are going to increase her birthing outcomes. And by birthing outcomes, I mean that her baby is born at term, that her baby is not low birth weight, and that she and her baby survive. Because you'd be surprised to know that not only is the infant mortality rate high in Detroit, but the maternal mortality rate is high in Detroit. If you are Black and in Detroit, you are three times more likely to die in the perinatal period. So pregnancy puts you at risk of death three times more than a white woman. And that is a shocking statistic. But we know that things that make a difference to both the mom and the baby surviving and thriving are access to prenatal care, which is what we provide. Working with a doula. Now, many of our listeners will probably not know what a doula is. I can't say I knew very much about doulas, but doulas are part of the medical team. They're not medically qualified, but they are certified to work with moms throughout pregnancy, postpartum, and during labor and delivery. They provide support, encouragement. They teach skills like breastfeeding, all sorts of interventions during labor. And we know that having a doula significantly increases your birth outcomes. And for years, they've just been community workers who volunteered. They weren't always appreciated in the hospitals during COVID when you had limited people in the room. It was hard to get your doula in the room. For our patients who often deliver on their own, having a doula to supplement what we do is an extremely profound benefit. That is now reimbursable under Medicaid in the state of Michigan. So we have significantly increased our partnership with doulas. We now have a coordinator. We're able to offer that to every single patient. Patients with Medicaid, their doula can be reimbursed. Patients who don't have Medicaid, we work with what we can do to reimburse the doula ourselves. It is just a huge bonus. So that's just a radical change. Birthing centers are going to be reimbursable under Medicaid. And we know that birth outcomes are greatly improved in a birthing center. Caseworkers, you can't take care of a mom if her surrounding community and her access to services is limited. So food insecure, housing insecure. Caseworkers are part of the Momnibus. It's called the Momnibus set of bills that are going through right now in Lansing, which is a number of different bills that are all going to make things better for women. And so that's allowed us to expand into case management, expand into doula services, and all of those things radically support and encourage our moms. So we've really been able to grow our ministry and partner with local people with skills in the community who work with and understand our patients better. So that's just been the most exciting thing this year.
Oh, that's very cool. In just in an individual, I'm sure you have mothers and families that success stories that you'll see every time you walk in those doors.
Every face is a story. Literally, they walk in and they might walk in with their baby for the first time. And we know the roller coaster of a journey they've been on. We look at those faces and every face tells a story. And I have moms who come in every week who no longer need our services, but we provide diapers, wipes, and formula for any mom that wants it. And we also have a clothing bank. And so they come back to visit and we still maintain that relationship. They still come in and they come and sit down and they want prayer. They want to give us an update on where they're at. And I think that relationship and that faith journey that we're on with them, because we're on their journey. We're not the driver of the bus. That's the Holy Spirit. But we get to be on that journey with them and to see them. I'm thinking of a patient right now who can't read and can't write, that we have helped to get her birth certificate. We've helped to get a social security card. Without those two things, you're invisible. You can't get access to services. She does not have a partner, and she has stepped out of a lifestyle where she's now like very isolated. Like all of her friends are living a life that she chooses not to live anymore as a mom. And she came to us and said, I just don't have any friends or anyone to hang out with. And that gave us a wonderful opportunity to partner with Crew. Campus Crusade for Christ has a teen mom representative in Detroit. And we were able to say, look, our moms really, they're needing community. And so we partnered with Crew and they bring someone into clinic. And I'm thinking specifically of this one mom. It gave them an opportunity to talk about what's it like when you're living a community where the mindset and the goals are so different to your own. And to realize that they're not alone because the moms in the clinic are all going through this. And then to bring in faith conversation about what is God leading me to? What am I feeling convicted that I need to change? I need to stop doing? And how am I going to get support to continue to live the life that I think God is calling me to? So yes, I can remember that patient and what it took to get her through pregnancy. It was hard. I can remember the delivery of that baby. We've got through 12 months of prenatal care, postnatal care with her and growing her little baby boy and helping her be the best mom she can be. And now we're looking at lifestyle changes and faith changes. And I don't know, I just think it feels a big privilege to be on the journey. When we started, we thought it was about delivering healthy babies, but really God has extended the parameters to the blessing of walking through life together, which as we know, is really where we begin to build faith on that journey.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I want to get back to one of the problems that I know that you talk about quite a bit, and it's how many women that you connect with that don't use or even receive any kind of prenatal care of any kind. That just blows me away, doesn't it? It's still hard to kind of wrap your mind around right now.
I think it is, because in all honesty, one thing I say out loud a lot is I am a white woman from England that doesn't live in Detroit. And so our frame of reference is so different. And we think we understand and we make judgments. And I hear all the time stories about my own patients that doesn't reflect the reality of the world in which they live in. And I think it's important to note that just knowing that I'm different, I have gone into Detroit and spent 7 years listening. And listening means learning. And so nearly all the preconceived ideas I had about why these women are having babies with different men, why they're not accessing care, why they're not doing what I initially thought they should be, I have really come up against a wall of truth. That from the age of 12, their lives are very different. They're not taken out on dates. They're not provided for. They're not protected. They're not cherished. They are only used for sex by men. And all they're looking for is some security and protection. So the slightest promise of I'll be with you if you have a baby is tempting, because how else am I ever going to find somebody? Am I ever going to be cared for and loved? But the lie is they're not cared for and loved. As soon as they get pregnant, they're dropped. So then they're alone and they're pregnant and they're overwhelmed and they're afraid. That's when they come to us. And we get to walk through them and say, you can do this. We will be with you in this. But just getting them to us, Jeff, they don't have a car. There aren't that much public transport routes that are operating in Detroit. You can be 2 miles from a hospital. But once you get there, if you've brought your children with you because you don't have childcare, they literally will refuse to draw your blood, refuse to give you an ultrasound, because they won't take children in the room. So every step of the way, if they actually make it. Now, if you and I woke up in the morning and you didn't know what you were feeding your children, there was nothing for breakfast and you had to figure out how to get food for lunch and dinner. And on top of that, you didn't know where you were going to sleep, or you're sleeping on a couch on the floor of a friend's house and you didn't know if she was going to let you stay another night. Or you were living with somebody who was violent and you didn't know how safe you were going to be that night. How important would it be for you to get your prenatal care? It would be low on the list. So just in those like 2 minute examples, no safety in a relationship, no physical security, no food security, no housing insecurity, no transportation, no childcare support. You have just introduced so many barriers to getting something that you and I just take for granted. Even if you're the working poor and you are faithfully providing for your family and working 2 minimum wage jobs, working in Burger King is not a place where your boss is giving you time off for prenatal care. You and I take that for granted. If we have a doctor's appointment that we can make it, especially for a pregnant woman. But that's not the case in a lot of places that our moms are working. So there's so many barriers that we've realized that if we don't address the barriers, we're not going to be able to give the care, which is why we've added in so many wraparound services. Like we provide free transportation. We provide assistance with food. We have referrals for housing. We do a lot to work with women experiencing violence. So it's really multifaceted.
I want to switch gears a little bit here. I know in the past, the Luke Clinic has used a number of nursing students from Concordia Ann Arbor. With everything going on there at CUAA, is anything going to change in that regard?
Well, I mean, I think it's a bumpy road, but our commitment to Concordia nursing students hasn't changed. We work with a number of nursing schools. And as I have mentioned many, many times, the Concordia nursing students are head and shoulders above the others in the way that they care for the patients holistically and their dedication, the way that they are trained, the way the school has devised their programming. When they come in, they bring so much to the table. And we are committed to standing with Concordia Nursing School and all of the medical programs that are currently in the North Building and look like they will continue. We want to be a strong partner for them. We definitely recognize this is a difficult time, but you know, I'm just reminded that we serve the Lord, and the Lord gives us what we need for the next step. And many times we know from the story of Joseph that God uses all things together for his purpose, and what was intended, sometimes not for what we think is the best purpose, he can turn around and do something with. So we want to be an encouragement to our partners at Concordia and absolutely double down in our support of their program.
So Penny, what are some of those challenges that you're facing right now?
So I think as any organization grows, there is a point where you go from being what's called a small nonprofit to a medium-sized nonprofit to a large nonprofit. And we fundraise nearly $500,000 a year. And so we're at that tipping point where we've suddenly become a larger nonprofit. So we're kind of excited because this summer we've really pivoted. We're redoing our entire branding, our website, our social media, and God has brought the most qualified, dedicated, fantastic team of professionals to the point where we now have marketing, social media, branding, fundraising and development professionals, nearly all of whom are volunteering for us. So you're going to see, if you follow us, a completely new look to the way we work and hopefully a much larger exposure. We are very strong in the LCMS world, but we are excited to sort of go out into Detroit and really break into areas that we haven't gone to before to share the message of what Christ is doing at the Loop Clinic.
Okay, so how can individual churches get involved with the Loop Clinic?
So the LCMS congregations are our bread and butter. They are the foundation of what we do. It's where we've come from, and it's never going to change. And I think our average church might give us between $500 and $3,000 a year. And you know, they may not think that that's a large amount to give us, but when churches choose to make us Mission of the Month or give us one of their Sunday's offerings as a gift, it makes all the difference in the world. And this summer, we're running a two-week campaign for the Michigan District to encourage each church to think about participating, whether you're in the UP, the Thumb, or Southwest Detroit. We're asking for those 2 weeks for you to pray and to pray for the ministry, pray for the staff, pray for provision for us, and pray for the women that we're caring for. And we will be sending out prayer points for each congregation for those 2 weeks. Financial support is always more than appreciated because it is the fuel that keeps the engine alive. And then volunteering. You don't necessarily have to be down in clinic to volunteer. Any skill that you have that you'd like to share with us is valuable. Like, for example, administration. Everything is online. So people who've got a strength in administration or people who are local to the clinic who'd like to come down and volunteer. I find that whatever people want to bring to us, God can use. I'm looking for people who want to make cards that we put the ultrasounds in and we put scripture in. And it's like a gift for the mom to take home so that they can look at that ultrasound picture and remember this is a baby created by the Lord. So if we have a women's group that wants to make cards for us, we would give them out to every woman who has an ultrasound. So I think the thing to remember is every little bit helps.
How can churches or people get involved, get in touch?
If you go to our website, www.thelukeclinic.org, you'll see a contact us, you'll see our phone numbers, and we'd love to hear from you. I love going out to congregations and either sharing during the service or before or after the service with the congregation. One of my favorite things is to share what God is doing in Detroit to encourage your congregation. So again, if pastors know they are taking a vacation and would like someone to come in, I can often bring a pastor with me and we can combine a sermon and a Sunday school time. Give us a call.
Awesome. Well, check the show notes. We'll have more information on details and connecting with the Loop Clinic and with Penny, plus a whole bunch more. Penny, thank you so much for your time. It's always great to talk to you.
Thank you, Jeff. I'm always excited to share what God is doing in Detroit.
And thank you, the listener, for making this podcast part of your day. God bless. Thank you.